Well, today we're looking at Jeremiah chapter 31. And as we heard a little bit of our children's message this morning, that change, we've talking a little bit about change. And just thinking about change automatically creates anxiety. It creates a huge problem within us. And Jeremiah chapter 31, the verses we're looking at today, there's underneath that, there's a huge problem going on as well. And this problem, basically, God had designed how things should work. And he made covenants with Abraham and Moses and Noah. And these covenants were all with a group of people. And we can read many accounts in the Old Testament where God says, I am your God and you are my people. My people, my group. And these covenants were all an external, a change as a group of people. And it wasn't an internal covenant. And these Old Testament covenants were all, they're written basically in stone. We have our Ten Commandments, and we have these hard lines, and the law is what it was. And these hard lines were what people were to follow. And you do this, and this, and this. And if you mess up, we can go make a sacrifice from a perfect lamb. And you can be forgiven for that stuff. And it just wasn't working out. And I speculate a little bit here that it wasn't working out, not because God didn't know what he was doing, but because God gave us as humans free will and choice. And as humans, we kept choosing, or we keep choosing to walk away from God. We keep choosing sin. But these hard lines, these rules, or the law, as I got to thinking about that, I got to reading a little bit and thought, well, let's look at the Ten Commandments a little bit this morning. So we have our Ten Commandments. Of course, the first one, you shall have no other God before me. I'm hoping we can all agree on that one. That's a pretty easy one to follow, I would think. We believe in God and he's our ruler, our leader, and we don't need to get anything in the way there. But then the second one, you shall not make idols. Okay, that's plain and simple. I don't have any gold that I'm forming into a calf or something I'm going to worship, right? But this one gets a little tricky in today's day and age because an idol is anything that takes us away from God, that distances us. An idol today can be anything from a TV to a sporting event, to anything that keeps us from being close with God, can be considered an idol. So we got to watch that one, I think, a little bit. I mean, we got to watch them all, but number three, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. I don't know that I need to explain that one at all. It's quite simple. You know, this week, Reese has been doing trap shooting with the school, and we've been going there for, what, a couple weeks now? And when I'm there with him, he always wants to hang out with me, and I love that. I mean, he's my son. I'm glad when there's other kids around, he actually wants to be with me. But I kept telling him, I says, Reese, you can go socialize. Go be with your friends and hang out with them. And he finally says, Dad, he says, I can't stand it. When I'm around them, their language is so filthy that it drives me nuts. And you know, I'm glad. It made me smile a little bit. Not that he doesn't want to hang out with other kids his age, but he gets this one. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. The Sabbath in Jewish customs with this law was actually Saturday from midnight Friday night to midnight Sunday, Saturday night. You did nothing. You did nothing. It was holy. It was a holy day. It was a day to be spent with God. And I think that's changed a lot with the New Testament, with Jesus coming on this earth. And I think it needs to be important that we set aside, and we could debate this on if it needs to be actual Sunday or what, but we need to remember, above all else, to set time aside to spend with God. That's what's important, setting time aside of your busy day of your life and spending time with God, talking with him, reading his Bible, reading his scripture, spending time. Number five, honor your father and mother. It doesn't say honor them only if you've had a good father and mother, but God gave you them for a reason. Honor them. You shall not murder. I'm hoping we can all get that one. shall not commit adultery. To me, that's a big one, because God is your number one. But second, right behind God, should be your spouse. And that shouldn't even be a question. And if that's something that you struggle with, knock it off. Don't do it. It's plain and simple. Love the Lord God with all your heart and your mind and your soul. And your spouse should share in that love as well. Number 8, don't steal. Number 9, because it's a long one. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Can I simplify that? Don't lie, right? Don't lie. And number 10, you shall not covet. Don't want what your neighbor has. Don't want his greener tractor than yours or this fancy new car. Just be blessed with what God has given you. Anyhow, we've seen our 10 rules. And we shouldn't struggle too much to follow them, right? We shouldn't. Yet we do. And we struggle with these because of sin. Because sin has gotten our life and gets in the way and twists things to make us believe things that aren't actually true. And we need to walk through that with God. And what was going on? The covenants that he made with Moses and Noah and Abraham, they were all an external covenant. And I've said this already. But when things are on the outside, they're hard to follow because sin was internal. Sin is deep down within us. We're born in it. And it's in our core. And it's something that it's in our DNA. It's at our deepest level. And it's something that we need to work through. And the only way that we can work through it properly is with where Jeremiah goes in verse 33, I believe, that God writes his word on our heart. And we're going to see a shift here in a little bit from the external covenants that God was talking about, or that he made with Moses and Noah and Abraham, to an internal one through Jesus. Now, there's no doubt from the beginning, with the covenants God was making, there's no doubt that God has, from the beginning, wanted a relationship with us. And if you think back to when Adam and Eve was in the garden, when God formed Adam out of the sand and breathed life into him. And then he formed Eve, took a rib out of Adam and formed Eve. And then after that, you can read accounts where they were in the garden, walking with God, talking with God, and spending time with him. You can't deny the fact that God wants a relationship with us. That was what he did with the very first humans on this earth, was all about a relationship with us. And the covenants he made with Moses and Noah and Abraham, that was a relationship as well, but it was at a different level. It was you are my people and I'm your God. It was an external one. And so as we go through this, when I read Jeremiah, I got to thinking, why would God need to use prophets? Because back then, that's how he spoke, through prophets, and then the prophet gave the word to the people. And Jeremiah was not very popular as a prophet at all the time because he was pretty bold in what he would tell people. But God started this process, this painstaking process of preparing the Israelites for this change coming. This change that he was bringing to them. And actually, when we read, I'm going to read here in a minute, I promise, verse 31. This is the very first time in Scripture that we see anything about the coming Messiah. So let's read it. And this is, remember, this is where God starts talking, starts preparing their hearts for Jesus. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. And here's the part that should make us all smile, should make us celebrate and throw a party. For I will forgive them, for I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. Because of Jesus, God will forgive us and remember our sins no more. That should get us excited. This is the new covenant that God has started to tell the Israelites about. The prophet Jeremiah is proclaiming, hey, something big's going to happen. Something big. Something's going to change. And it's going to be something very different, very exciting, and it's going to be great, right? We all get excited when we hear about something different coming, correct? Like we can't wait? I don't see anybody smiling now, though. What am I missing here? I'm thinking we aren't real excited when things are about to change, are we? It scares me to death, I'll be honest with that. We hate change. We hate it when things are gonna be different. And I would speculate in that we don't really hate the change. We just hate not knowing what's coming. We hate not knowing where our life is leading, because we all want to be in control. And anytime we change things, we're not really in control. Right? I think we can all agree with that. And this change that I'm talking about, the one that causes anxiety with me is change in my life. Not the internal that Brenda was talking about, the change me. But I remember 3-4 years ago, and I know I've said this before, but it's such a big event in my life that I'll probably say it quite often, that I was scared to death when I knew God was calling me into ministry. I'm sure when I first told my wife, she was scared. Because anytime when God is going to change you or change something about you, you just get scared. And if I would have resisted and kept resisting, I would have never felt the blessing I feel every Sunday when I see each and every one of you, because I know that I'm here because God wants me here, and He is blessing me beyond what you can believe. I've never experienced joy like this in my life. And things still, I mean, there's bumps along the way and all that. But when you're living in what God calls you to do, when you listen to what He asks you to do and you do it, oh my, the blessings are amazing. The blessings are just absolutely amazing. But the same holds true with God changing our hearts. We've been raised and we've all lived our lives and we've been ingrained with certain things. But when we get to a point where maybe we're struggling with something, maybe it's a sin we can't beat, or maybe it's just something that God has laid on our heart that He wants us to do differently in our lives. And when we get to that point, and we don't have, I mean, we're deep down, we're there, and we know God is asking us to do something different, or change our hearts, that we struggle. We still don't want to give in because of the unknown. God wants a relationship, but He doesn't want sin getting in the way. And when we give in, when we let Him change our hearts, you will experience that joy you can't find anywhere else. That I can promise you. You will find that joy that's deep down, that's internal, because of the new covenant through Jesus Christ. And the new covenant, let me finish with just clearing this up. The new covenant was Jesus. Jesus came on this earth, lived a sinless life, faced all the same temptations we do in our lives. But because God requires a sacrifice for our sins, Jesus died on the cross. And this new covenant was sealed with Jesus' blood, that we can be forgiven. And not only forgiven, but what does the end of that verse say? We're forgiven. We can forgive each other, but we cannot forget. God forgets our past. And we should celebrate that. We should celebrate that. So when God is working on your heart, maybe wanting you to change. Maybe it's something about your life. Maybe it's where you live, or maybe it's something internal that you're doing. Let him change you. Let's pray. Lord God, Father, thank you for this day and the beautiful sunlight you have shining in here, reminding me of how life is full of change. The winter is slowly giving way to spring, and we'll get to enjoy that. And Lord, I pray as you place things on our heart that you want us to do differently, Lord. I pray that we can submit and that we can leave our sins at the foot of the cross. And just enjoy living in a relationship that's growing closer to you every day. In Jesus' name, amen.